You are listening to the IoT for All Media Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the IoT for All podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Chacon, and on today's episode, we have Gideon Rodham, the CEO and founder of Diuk. He has more than 20 years of experience as an entrepreneur and CEO of different companies. Diuk offers precise location as a service through its patented wireless-based firmware solution that is self-learning. And ultra precise, down to about 10 centimeters, passive and low power, allowing absolute indoor and outdoor positioning determination. So that's a pretty hot topic these days, indoor-outdoor location tracking. So if you're interested in that, definitely check them out. But besides that, our conversation today is a good one. We talk about the challenges faced with precise tracking of assets and people. What are the current technologies being used? What are the shortcomings of each of those technologies to help you kind of decide which technology is best for your potential use case and problem you're trying to solve? We also talk about what makes indoor tracking so difficult for the foreseeable past. We've really been in a situation where indoor tracking was not an easy thing to do. It's becoming more and more popular and more solvable with all these different technologies. And that's kind of what we focus a lot of this conversation on. And then we wrap up talking about key technologies that make indoor and outdoor tracking viable these days, and also the future of precise tracking of assets and people and what that looks like, kind of where we're going, what direction we're headed in, just to kind of show you what is possible, not only now, but also into the future, and why now is a really good time to be considering adopting IoT if you haven't already done so, to solve those indoor and outdoor tracking problems you may have for different assets, different people within your organization or your customer's organization. So a lot of good stuff today. I really think you'll get a lot of value out of this episode. But before we get into it, if any of you out there are looking to enter the fast-growing and profitable IoT market but don't know where to start, check out our sponsor, Leverage. Leverage's IoT solutions development platform provides everything you need to create turnkey IoT products that you can white label and resell under your own brand. To learn more, go to iotchangeseverything.com. That's iotchangeseverything.com. And without further ado, please enjoy this episode of the IoT for All podcast. Welcome, Gideon, to the IoT for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I wanted to kick it off by having you just tell the audience a little bit more about yourself. Any background, experience, information you think will be relevant and exciting for them to hear?
Well, I think, you know, we've been involved in the technology field for over 20 years. My partner, Ilan Shpak, this is our fourth company together. So even that is a good story, because you don't usually find these, founders that work together for 23 years through company after company and company. You know, it's lasted longer than my marriage. So that's something for all your listeners to think about. And it's going, from one endeavor to the other. So we're very proud to be here with Diuk. Diuk was founded in 2019, so going now for 2.5 years. 25 employees, most of them engineers, and we have a lot of great technology in the location sphere to tell you about.
Yeah, so let's dive in there for a second, talk a little bit more about kind of the offerings and the role you all play in the IoT space.
Right. So the concept of Diuk and what we're trying to push hard into the IoT space is location as a service based on Wi-Fi. Okay, so there is kind of like, when you're thinking location, IoT, thinking cellular, you're thinking GPS, maybe you're thinking Bluetooth, maybe you're thinking UWB. You're not so much thinking Wi-Fi, but Diuk is coming out and saying 2 billion out there, covering the whole globe, definitely covering everywhere in the US, Europe, East Asia, etc. So a lot of Wi-Fi infrastructure there. Let's use that for precise location. That would be number one about Diuk. Number two would be saying it's IoT. There's a lot of things we need to know about the things that we're looking after, the things that we're getting the inputs from, but what about precise location? Can we do all those things without having precise location? So on the one hand, there's a 2 billion access points. On the other hand, we need precise location. That's where Diuk comes in.
Gotcha. Okay. And tell me a little bit about, this takes a few steps back here, but when you founded the company with your co-founder, what was the kind of opportunity that you saw and kind of in the market that maybe wasn't being addressed by others, and which ties into obviously what you just described, which is the role you play and kind of the offerings that you have in the market. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about that story behind that, kind of identifying that problem and finding the fit here with Duke.
Right. So great question. So our Extracom, which was sold to Allied Telesis, Japanese networking company, we did quite a lot of hospital deployments, enterprise deployments. The issue of one always came up. So for years and years and years, we knew that there's a caveat there, there's a chasm there, there's something that the solutions you have. On the one hand, you have GPS on the outdoor. You have multiple technologies, you know, RSSI or time of flight and Wi-Fi, cellular, UWB, BLE, a lot of attempts to solve the indoor location issue. Nothing that kind of puts them together, and no really solution that solves the issue in a way that, you know, I would say is needed when you're looking at IoT. So it was kind of like the challenge. What happened? What did we find? Basically, what we're doing, and we'll dive into that obviously in a second, is we're doing a term in physics called interferometry. Now, interferometry, if any listeners goes into Google, they'll find two major use cases. They'll find lasers, a lot of interferometry in lasers, and they'll find geospatial stations. When you kind of want to look to the sky, how far is this star from us? You take one ray of light, a second ray of light, transmit at the same time, calculate the phase differential between those rays of light, and now you know that that star is 65 star years, light years from Earth. Okay?
Wow.
So where does Duke come in? We're looking at OFDM. You know, OFDM, the technology behind Wi-Fi from 2007, LTE, 5G, a modulation scheme for wireless communication. And we're saying the human eye can't get it, but anything at 5 gigahertz, anything at 6 gigahertz, anything at 2.4 gigahertz is still light. It's light. Mm. So the fact that I can't see it as light doesn't mean it's still light. So we'll take the same rules and interferometry on OFDM communication, and that's what we did. Okay, and that's kind of like the source of innovation. You're looking into, in every time Zoom, when you talk to somebody, what's the innovation? That's the innovation. Okay, so we do phase differentials between rays of coherent transmissions in wireless. And then there's that this whole developed last 10 years of machine learning, of AI, because we just have a physical measurement. How do you really translate that to a geographic position? That's where we came in with the geographic position.
Gotcha. Wow, that's super fascinating.
Now, Ryan, it took a while. Obviously,
I bet.
Just came. Okay, let's sit that. So, you know, we worked for the Japanese company that bought Extracom for Allied Telesis. Founded a subsidiary here in Tel Aviv called Allied Telesis Wireless, doing startups. We left them. They're great people and everything, but we were looking for, you know, what else?
Yeah.
What's new? What's there to explore? And this route.
Yeah, I mean, the demand for asset tracking, especially when it comes to indoors, which we'll get here to in a second, is massive. It's one of the hardest problems I think companies are trying to solve in when it comes to IoT use cases. Speaking of use cases, are there any use cases that may be able to kind of bring the technology full circle for our audience to kind of showcase what you've been able to do and deploy out there?
The nice thing is that anything that that is part of IoT, the minute you're touching, and that's the beautiful thing of IoT, Internet of Things, okay, those things need to be located.
Yeah.
And every one of those things, and it's much wider than, it's every mobile asset, but it's also every portable asset, and then it's every non-portable asset. Think about it. Let's water meters. You've just put in a building water meters. You connected them. Everybody's familiar with the use case that why send the metering guy to check the meters, right? But now you have 50 IoT connected meters in a building, and one of them is busted. If you don't have their precise location, how are you going to find it? How are you going to save the technical time, of just finding needs to fix that goes into every type of asset, whether it's permanently located, whether it's or whether it's mobile, you need its location. You know, everybody, we freely in the industry, we use this thing called digital transformation, right? It's the core of everything a lot of us are doing. How do you digitally transform your business without knowing precisely where your assets are?
Sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think...
Now...
Go ahead.
Specific use cases in industry, just everything that goes into the manufacturing.
Yeah.
And logistic, tracking all the everything that you're moving around, pallets, boxes, AVs, the people in the distribution center. In retail, the employees, the assets, the customers. In hospitals, the patients, the equipment. Anything you need to, within your IoT scheme and within the operation of the business, you need to know its precise location in order to automate it. Because what do we do today? Today, we scan things. We create, we gate. And what we want to know, you know, we loosely use this term, Ryan, real-time location systems.
Right, right.
What's real-time if you need to scan?
Yep.
Real-time means I'm MIM 111111. Where is it? Press a button. Right? Get it.
Yeah.
Real time.
Right.
And that's the vision that Duke is bringing here.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about the challenges companies currently face. This kind of ties into your comment there about going from scanning to what we're trying to do now. But what are the challenges companies face when it comes to the precise tracking of assets and people? Just like high level it for me.
Okay. So challenge, I think there's first two separate challenges that emphasis in Duke is that it's a single challenge, but it should be addressed initially as two separate challenges. And that is outdoor location. Okay.
Sure.
So you have two spheres, outdoor location, indoor location. The way I would like to address it is first note why I believe there's a challenge called location. Not indoor location and outdoor location. And that is really a change of your mindset today, because I meet a lot of companies that are telling me, okay, we came to you to talk to you about our location problem. And I always start with why indoor location? Why not location? Because us as people and therefore our assets, we move indoor and outdoor, right? You're moving something on a truck, you move it into a distribution center. It moved from outdoor to indoor. Now you're taking it to the store. You're taking it again from indoor to outdoor at the store, back to indoor. The whole breakup between indoor and outdoor is not natural to the process of moving goods, assets, and people around. So that will be my first point. The first point is unify those two. Problem is precise location, meaning tracking of assets and people. The problem is not outdoor or indoor, but we're not there yet. So there's a problem outdoor and there's a problem of indoor. On the outdoor, which is really, you know, what you wanted me to highlight here, everybody what we do, right? We do GPS. The world does GPS.
Yeah.
What's the problem with doing GPS? One, it's not accurate enough.
Okay.
Two, it's prone to spoofing attacks. You'll hear of that, you know, with what's going on now in the Ukraine, Russia, quality of the GPS, who's into the GPS, etc. Three, it's not available in very urban centers. It's not available, obviously, indoor, but even when you're driving a truck, you're under a bridge, you're going to a tunnel, going to a lot of, even in the mobile world, that GPS is available. So GPS has issues of availability. It has issues of spoofing. It has issues of accuracy. And last but not least, it has an issue of power consumption, especially when we're talking about IoT and different tags and wearables, etc. So GPS, think where those satellites are, the amount of power you need in order to connect to them. Mm. And you're now in a situation where you're consuming tremendous amount of power to get that GPS location. So those are the things that us and Duke want to address at GPS. Okay.
Yeah,
on the indoor. Please, Ryan.
No, I was going to say, I would argue, I guess the only thing with the with GPS accuracy, it really, I guess, depends on the use case of how accurate it needs to be. But for when we go to, like, when we get to precision and really want to be precise, you're right. There are times where it is not accurate. Like, we've seen some where, you know, they're looking for cars on a lot and they can get it within, you know, two or three parking spaces kind of accuracy. But is that consistent across all areas? Probably not. So I think it really is use case dependent, but I understand kind of where you're getting at for sure.
And I agree with the use case, but the nice thing is what are you willing to live with? Maybe you're willing to live with two, three parking spots. I would say knowing the parking spot is what you need to know.
Sure.
Let's say to train companies, they will tell you in most cases, probably with GPS, you can live with 30 feet, right?
Sure.
Back and it's driving, but what happens when it's in the yard and there's 10 trains standing next to each other now in the yard, and you're the train operator and you just agreed to work 30 feet within 30 feet you have five different trains. Where are you on? Who's moving? Where do you need to go? There's no reason to agree to that limit of accuracy. That's what I'm saying. So
I understood. Okay.
A lot of what people are telling use cases, they know what they can get. Okay, I can live with that. But can they? Should they live with that?
Right. Okay. All right. And on to indoor. You were getting into that.
Right. So indoor is the second case, and I think you mentioned that indoor is the big kahuna. You know, that's the problem, right? And there's two reasons for that. One, it's a more three reasons for that. One, GPS, the solution provided for free by the U.S. government initially to the world, exists. So one, we don't have GPS, so we start from that. Simply, it does not work inside because you cannot see satellites. That's two. The problem itself is more difficult because of what is called multipath. With everything bouncing off walls, creating therefore a much harder physical domain, it's much harder to get to establish a precise mission. So it's much more difficult. Going back to issue one, because there is no upon infrastructure, you need to deploy infrastructure. Mm. And the world is so big, and there's so many buildings, and there's so much area to cover. And now you need to deploy infrastructure. The cost is tremendous. Is it worthwhile considering the quality that you receive with multipath, etc.? So, which obviously to my first point, which is 2 billion Wi-Fi access points sitting there waiting to be used for location. 2 billion Wi-Fi access points that were deployed there because we want to deploy our Instagram, because we want to connect to Facebook, because we want to do our TikTok, because whatever. Not for location. Right. Nobody put those 2 billion access points for location. They're just there and they can be used for location, which is the nice flavor of what we're giving in here. So, another issue, overall issue, location.
So tell me a little bit about, since anytime I've spoken with individuals about indoor tracking, Wi-Fi really hasn't been mentioned that much as an option. So tell me a little bit about how you kind of see it as, we talked about the access points, the availability there, which is a big part, but from an accuracy standpoint, from an infrastructure standpoint, from just general execution of that precision and accuracy, why is Wi-Fi a good fit when, and the reason I ask you is because it's usually, you know, ultra wide band, it's potentially LoRa even, it's different kinds of tech, Bluetooth, depending on the use case. But Wi-Fi hasn't always been the thing that's been brought up in the conversations I've had. So I'm curious from your perspective why and how well Wi-Fi works in that indoor setting.
Great question. Wi-Fi works this way. Duke Wi-Fi works because existing limitations on Wi-Fi that were there before are not applicable to. Now, what's the biggest limitation? The biggest limitation is that when you come with a Wi-Fi solution before Duke, you need to be on both sides of the network. Okay, you need to associate, you need to authenticate, you need to be a part of the Wi-Fi network. That always means if we're trying to do an IoT, you know, what you imagine with GPS, you want to move across the city, move across an airport, move across the place. How are you going to? You're not connected to all these people. You know all these companies, right? So basic limitation on what Wi-Fi could do. It's a passive technology, work on the physical layer, so we can get readings and measurements from every access point with never associating to it or authenticating to it. So we're bringing back Wi-Fi. That would be one. You can use the network. In the past, I would have said there's 2 billion access points, and you would have said, great, but my office only has 5. So why would I bother with the other, you know, 1,999,000,000, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Well, exactly. You don't need to bother with them. They are part of the network there for you as long as you're a passive network. That would be one.
Okay.
Two would be, what is your precision that you can get? When you're talking RSSI-based Wi-Fi networks, which was everything the industry had until 2, 3, 4 years ago, and which what people therefore got used to, you were talking 50 feet, 100 feet. And obviously UWB or Bluetooth beat you there. Now, it's not that UWB, not that Bluetooth gives you a good result, or UWB that can give you a good result, doesn't cost a lot of money and need a lot of infrastructure. But the fact that you're a 100-foot solution, you need 100 feet, what are you going to do with it? Outside, maybe it can help you. An address, the way Google do, identify what house this Wi-Fi is coming out of, value. But if you're looking for precise location, no value. Okay, so first, you can't use the network. Two, the precision level. Now, the industry has tried to solve that with time of flight. Time of flight will improve you to about 10 feet in an optimal setting. But it still needs to be, you still need to be on both sides of the network. Okay, so you need to be in the infrastructure and on the client side, a big limitation. That's why when you bring a passive technology that's very precise, and obviously your next question will be, is it precise? And I'll dive into that. But that is very precise. You can now bring Wi-Fi back. And that's why I think we should be very interesting to everybody in the Wi-Fi industry and everybody that's that is pushing Wi-Fi into the market. So why is we precise? Well, I made you ask the question, so I apologize for that. But no, why are we precise? We're precise because we are measuring angles. We're not measuring RSSI. We're not doing time of flight. We're doing a phase differential between a coherent transmission. That means two antennas at least transmitting at the same time. And that phase differential is very precise. It is not impacted from changes in the environment, and it's not impacted from the fact that there's no line of sight. Think about this, of the issue of line of sight, which is crucial here. When you're doing RSSI, let's say, and you're getting a certain power measurement, you do not know if you're getting that number because you are 100 feet from the transmitter, or because you're 5 feet from the transmitter, but there are 3 walls, right? You don't know. You're just getting a measurement. Considering you don't know that, you really don't know where you are. You're assuming something about that RSSI measurement. When you do a differential in an angle measurement, like what the wall creates, it just decreases the dBs. that as long as the number on the other side is still a number we can use, the angle does not change. The angle does not change because you've just crossed three walls. It's the same angle. Okay?
I hear you.
Obviously, we're not talking about Faraday cages here. We're not talking about metal walls. If there's a metal wall, right, there's no angle. There's no problem.
Right.
If I cross the wall, angles, you know, the rays cross the walls, I'm able to receive them. I am not impacted by the decrease in dBs.
Gotcha.
I'm still precise. So it's the physical phenomena that we're measuring, literally the physical phenomena that we're measuring, that allows us to be more accurate and bring Wi-Fi back to the center of the scene in terms of location.
Very exciting. Okay. Great. Well, I appreciate you breaking that down. That's that kind of answers a lot of my questions that I already had, which is great. As we kind of wrap up here, I wanted to ask you one last thing. Just where does the future of this, of the precise tracking of assets and people, kind of go? Like, what are you seeing? How does this evolve to, you know, continue to improve and continue to be better and more viable of an option?
Well, the part I did not talk about in our solution is the fact that since it's a location as a service, it's a cloud solution, we're building a database. And since we're building a database, crowdsourcing allows us to continuously improve the precision of location that we're providing. So while a single asset being tracked in a specific area will give you sub-3-foot accuracy, the more and more assets are tracked within that area, the better accuracy you will have for everybody, which is the essence and power of crowdsourcing. So what I'm saying is, unlike other activity solutions, you come to a certain situation, it's like, you know, I'm sure you're familiar for it from, you know, going to a basketball game. You're there in the beginning of the game, you're using Wi-Fi, you say, great Wi-Fi. Some people are coming in, great Wi-Fi. Everybody is in the game, Wi-Fi's dead. Okay, that's a connectivity issue.
Sure.
That's not what happens with location. Because we're passive, what you get with location is the more users you get, the better location you get for everybody. So what I'm saying is, my point is, where is it going? It's going for better and more precise location. And when you have better and more precise location, you are able to utilize location in a better way. Now, the one nice thing we always see as a location company is that anybody in his business case knows better than I why he needs location. He or she needs location. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, anybody, if you're in the logistics space, if you're a manufacturing company, you know why you need location. And I can't tell you what you need location, but I can provide you that precise location. And that's what Duke is about. It's about providing everybody that precise location.
Gotcha. Okay. Fantastic. So I wanted to ask you, anything new and exciting kind of coming out from Duke that we should be on the lookout for? And if our audience has questions and wants to follow up, what's the best way to do that?
Okay. So the one thing I would greatly enjoy repeating is our announcement from CES. Which was, you know, just six, 7 weeks ago, that we are partnering with Infineon, and our technology is available on Infineon Wi-Fi chips. Infineon is a leader in the IoT market, in Wi-Fi for our IoT market, and we're very proud to partner with them and have availability of our solution on anybody that has an IoT chipset in their solution. That was our first big announcement in terms of partnership. It was a major milestone for the company. And, you know, before and after, it's not the same company. And we're really excited about that. That's the first thing to do. Anything to approach us, info@duke.com, DEEYOOK.com is the place to go. We're very alert. Okay. We're very responsive to people's need and use cases, and ready to talk to anybody, and especially anybody that listens to this podcast.
Fantastic. Well, Gideon, this has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for taking the time. Anytime we can talk about not just asset tracking, but indoor asset tracking and how this is going to improve and make this a viable thing for people, it's a challenge that so many are trying to solve. So the insights you shared have been great, and I think our audience is going to get a ton of value for this. So thanks again for taking the time.
Okay, it was a real pleasure being here. Looking forward to talk again. Thank you.
Absolutely. Ryan. Thank you. All right, everyone. Thanks again for joining us this week on the IoT for All podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a rating or review and be sure to subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, if you have a guest you'd like to see on the show, please drop us a note at ryan@iotforall.com and we'll do everything we can to get them as a future guest. Other than that, thanks again for listening and we'll see you next time.